I continue a Merry Christmas season. I hope everyone's having a Merry Christmas. Has everyone done shit with their Christmas shopping yet? Has anyone started their Christmas shopping yet? Well, last week, we saw Mary call herself the handmaid of the Lord as she accepted the call to bring forth Jesus Christ into the world that we may all be saved by His sacrifice. But she's still a young teenage girl. She's still wondering, what is happening to me? Did this really happen? What do I tell my parents? What do I tell Joseph? What should be my next step? I really don't know. If you were put in a situation like Mary was, would you have full confidence in your call? Or would you be confused and concerned also? Truthfully, I'd be very concerned. I'd be very scared. Well, the angel told Mary of another miracle birth, that of her cousin Elizabeth. Mary now goes to a strong woman of faith, a woman that can lift her up, a woman that can give her confidence, a woman that can show her that God is exactly who He is, and if God said it'll happen, it will happen exactly as He said, and you don't have a thing to worry about. Certainly, this woman could provide Mary help. And Ecclesiastes 4, 9-10 says this, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Now we see God preparing the way for Jesus Christ by preparing the way for the mother of Jesus Christ, providing Elizabeth, that Elizabeth could help Mary in her call. As I said, she's a very young girl, 14 to 15, doesn't have a lot of experience, still under the protection of her own father in Jewish custom, and yet called for the greatest calling that a woman has ever received. So, God prepared the way for Mary through Jesus Christ, through John the Baptist, even before Jesus was born, by preparing the way for Mary through Elizabeth. By her miracle conception, Mary would see that Elizabeth could help her. Mary would see that what the angel said, with God nothing shall be impossible, was true, because Elizabeth already had a miracle conception and was 6 months pregnant with him already. So with that, let's look at how Mary was helped. Let's look at how God helps those that He calls. Let's see how God makes sure that all of us have the assistance we need when we're called to do a great thing. So turn your Bibles and stand in honor of the Word of God to Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. So Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39, says this, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown, he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Dear Heavenly Father, we see this great and wonderful story, this great and wonderful segment of the birth of the Christ child, of how you helped a young girl with Elizabeth, how you made sure that she would have the strength and the ability with someone else to guide her, to carry through a very difficult task, a very difficult calling. One that you are definitely blessed her with, but she would be confused. And Lord, we're thankful that whenever you call us to do anything, you will provide the assistance we need. You will provide others to lift us up. You will make it so that two are better than one, as we can build each other up, as we can praise your holy name because of what you do. And Lord, we're thankful for the birth of Christ. We're thankful for the fact that you sent him to reveal God to man. By revealing God to man, allowing us to see God, allowing us to see a perfect life, allowing him to go to the cross and take my penalty and the penalty of all who put faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, to allow him to be dead, buried, and raised again on the third day, waiting for us to return to him. And Lord, we give so much thanks this Christmas season for the fact that Jesus Christ became man, became our penalty. And Lord, we're thankful also that we can trust you in whatever call you give us. You will give us the resources to be able to accomplish that call. We ask all of in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. And go ahead and take seats. Thank you. Now, note the first verse we read today. Mary hears of this miracle birth. And what did she do? She rushed to see Elizabeth. She gave haste, is what it says, before telling Joseph, before telling her family. She needs to understand what's happening. She needs to try to figure out the fog of everything she just plain does not understand to come clear to her that she can have confidence in what God is doing through her. Elizabeth now is the only woman that can possibly relate to Mary's call because Elizabeth has her own miracle birth happening. She goes in haste, once again it says. The Greek means with great speed, diligence, care, earnestness, zeal. She wanted to get a full understanding as quick as she possibly could so she could prepare herself. There's so many things going in her head. I mean, a second ago, she's talking about what color the flowers would be, what her dress will look like, all the things a girl looks at with her wedding coming up. And then all of a sudden, in her lap, she's told she will bring forth the Messiah, oh, as a virgin, and before the wedding. Now, do you think maybe that might confuse her just a little? Might concern her just a little? Well, God knows that. That's why God prepared Elizabeth for her. That's why John the Baptist, even before his birth, was made to prepare the way for Jesus Christ, as Elizabeth would be able to prepare Mary for the call that she had. Now, we see both acting with Jesus Christ in mind. Neither one proclaimed their own greatness. They focused on God's mercy and glory, and they proclaimed the Messiah's greatness, God's greatness, always putting him above their own selves, praising him for everything that's happening. Now, make no mistake, it's easy for the angel to say that with God nothing shall be impossible. How many believe that? How many live every day knowing that? We need help to understand that. We have the flesh. We are limited because of that. We don't understand fully. We don't trust fully. We don't have full faith. God knows that. Therefore, God prepares us to make the call he has. And he prepares us with other people quite often so that they can pray for us, so they can help us, so they can lift us up and give us confidence. That's exactly what God did with Mary. Mary trusted. She believed. She had no problem with anything the angel said. Acting on it is a different story. Is this really happening to me? How can it happen to me? I'm the poorest woman in Judah. There's no way that I could. What can I do? I can't provide a palace for the king. So I need help. I need assurance. I need confidence. And I need to see it from a mature person who understands this far better than I do. Now, Elizabeth loves me, knows my call would be what Mary is thinking. She will give me counsel. I must hurry, and I must receive that counsel. So we see two amazing women in this story. One preparing the way of Christ, giving comfort and counsel to a very young girl who's going to bring forth the Messiah. And one bringing forth the Christ, seeking the assistance from Elizabeth, knowing that she does not have enough strength on her own, enough ability on her own to carry forth this call, and seeking help from someone else. Then taking that counsel and praising God and confidently moving forward with her call. Two women only focused on God and not their own glory, providing the character, proving that God's wisdom, that these were the two women that should have been selected. So, with these two women, we see three things that anyone called to a great call needs to have. First of all, these are women that were spirit-led. Second, they were humble. And finally, they were discerning. So, spirit-led. Well, we know that Elizabeth was Spirit-led because it talked about that last week. Now, Mary had the Spirit come upon her when she came to conceive Jesus. How was she going to conceive Jesus? The Holy Spirit was going to overshadow her and place Jesus in her body. So, that Spirit, providing the conception for Jesus, would certainly lead Mary. She accepted her call and sought to honor God by His Spirit. She listened to the angel sent by God to go where to find help. She rushed to Elizabeth to find joy in her calling. Mary came to Elizabeth, who was prepared to help her accomplish her call. Why? Because she was going to be filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit was going to guide her to give Mary the help that she needed. She was pregnant with John the Baptist. Again, John the Baptist was preparing the way of the Messiah and would do it through Elizabeth in this case. Now, make no mistake, before Pentecost, the Spirit didn't dwell to save people. No, I'm saved right now. I'm saved, so the Spirit indwells me. Everyone in here who is saved has the Spirit indwelling you as we speak. That was not true with the Old Testament. That was not true until Pentecost. So the Spirit would come upon people to accomplish calls that God gave them. That's exactly what happened in this case. Luke 1:15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. He was called from his mother's womb. He was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. That's why he leapt for joy when the mother of the Messiah came among them. At the same time, Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit because God filled her with the Spirit to be used in the same way. By now, John would be moving in the mother's womb. No? Those of you who have been pregnant know that at 6 months, the baby starts moving. But this was a different kind of movement. This was an exuberant leap that she recognized as something that was completely different, because she focused that, stressed it to Mary, and verse 44 told her that this was a supernatural leap. As soon as you showed up, the babe leapt in my womb. Now, why? Does she know that the Messiah is going to be born of Mary? She did only because the Spirit told her. There was no other reason for her to know. Because Mary hadn't told anybody. As soon as the angel comes, she rushes right out to see Elizabeth. There was no internet. There was no Facebook. She didn't say, guess what? I'm going to be a virgin mother of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is no way for Elizabeth to know what she said, except the Spirit told her. And the Spirit told her for a reason. Think of Mary coming. I need help. Blessed are you among women. What are you talking about? So getting that kind of response from Elizabeth would give her the confidence that God is behind everything. This is not a dream. This is going to happen, and God has chosen me. So, as the babe leapt, again, Luke 1:15 came true, and the Spirit came among Elizabeth. The Spirit informs Elizabeth of Mary's call, and she shouts for joy. Again, think of the surprise when she comes in, and Elizabeth, for absolute joy, shouts the greeting. Blessed art thou among women, and the fruit of thy womb. Who told you? Who told you was the Holy Spirit? And Mary recognized that because she had told nobody else. Maybe she thinks the angel told her. But in that case, even if that was the case, the angel would have had to tell Elizabeth, and Elizabeth would tell her. Matthew Henry says this, the welcome which Elizabeth, by the spirit of prophecy, gave to Mary, the mother of our Lord, was not as a common friend making a common visit, but as to one to whom the Messiah would be born. And it was given by one who would be in society considered the greater, given to the lesser. But that's not what it looked like when we read it. Elizabeth humbled herself, as we'll look at in a second, in front of Mary. This is God confirming his call to Mary, to show Mary that God is with her, that God will provide everything she needs, and that she can, in confidence, move forward. She doesn't know everything that's going to happen. She has no clue. You read about everything, you hear quite often Mary pondering these things in her heart. But she knew from this act that God was preparing the steps, and she followed those steps. So if called, God will give you what you need. Elizabeth, a well-respected wife of a faithful and righteous priest, is led by that same Spirit to give a glorious greeting to one of the many common people in Judah. Nobody knew who. A lot of people would know who Elizabeth was. Possibly everybody in Judah knew who Elizabeth was because she was the wife of a very faithful priest. Nobody knew who Mary was. It was just someone who'd be driving down the street. That's it. And yet we see Elizabeth proclaiming the greatness of this young woman. Listen to this well-known woman's greeting once again to this young girl. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. If you are called to unbelievable service, you might be, I don't know, and if God uses you for some unbelievable call, find help that God has already provided. Yield to His Spirit and have confidence in the joy that He's given you. So, first of all, we have that. Second of all, be humble. Spirit-led, now be humble. Mary had already called herself the bondslave of the Lord, basically a slave girl. A humble willingness to serve and to give God the glory for whatever would happen. Running to Elizabeth, she shows no pride. She shows no worthiness. She seeks help to accomplish her call, knowing she cannot do it on her own, knowing she needs help. Guess what? If you're given a call, you need help. Because God does miracles. You know what a miracle is? A miracle is something that cannot happen apart from God making it happen. So if you're called for a miraculous call, you need that same humility, realizing it is God that will work through you. And we see in verse 48 how how God regarded the low estate of His handmaid. That's what she said. She didn't claim herself great. God chose me because I'm so wonderful. How many today would say that? Mary didn't. She said, God showed that I had a low estate. I recognized my low estate, and still He used me. I'm going to glorify God because of this. He said, all generations would call her blessed. But it wasn't because she was so great. It's because God used her. And they would call her blessed because she was the instrument that God used to bring forth the Messiah. And that is why God needs to be praised. Elizabeth also shows humility to a young girl. Now today, youth is worshipped. Youth is honored. Now we look at Congress. We need to get young people in there, right? Not so in the Bible. In the Old Testament, wisdom of age was honored. Wisdom of age was respected. Leviticus 19:32 says this, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Elizabeth had many reasons to demand respect of this young girl. She was a matriarch of their own family. She was an older cousin of Mary. She was an aged woman in society, in that time, deserving respect. And she was the wife of a well-respected and well-known priest. Mary is a young girl. She is still under the protection of her father. She has not proven herself in the world, and she is not on her own yet. So with this understanding, see Elizabeth helping this young woman, saying to this young faithful woman, not yet on her own, that she is blessed among women. Why? Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. You're bringing forth the Messiah. Not me. Yes, I'm well known and everything, but you're the one that God chose. Showing she has wisdom from God, as she could not have possibly known any of these facts. There's no way she could have known this. God revealed it to her, and God used her because she was a humble woman. She would give glory to God, and she would lift up Mary in her call and give all the praise to Mary, allowing Mary to have confidence to carry it forth. So, we now see Elizabeth showing true humility as God's chosen vessel. What does she say? Why should a greatly blessed woman like you see me? In society, it would be the absolute other way around. Elizabeth would be the one with all the respect, all the glory from society, and Mary is just some common little girl about to get married. But we see Elizabeth saying, you're the mother of the Messiah. Why should you honor me with a visit? She didn't claim any superiority in any way. She didn't show any envy in a call to someone of a lower station in life. She rejoiced with Mary, whom she was helping to rejoice. Elizabeth praised this young, unproven woman as one chosen by God to bring forth God's Messiah to a lost and dying world. So Philippians 2:3-4 says this. Elizabeth lived this very well. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of in mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So, Mary was rejoicing. It was God's gift. Elizabeth rejoiced with Mary because Mary had such a great call. She humbled herself to help someone of a lower station in life because God had chosen her. Both women focused on God and desired only to honor God as they increased each other's joy. They built each other up. What are we supposed to do in a church? We're supposed to build each other up. I started the Third Great Awakening in New England. It's supposed to hopefully make it so we have a revival one of these days. Well, if someone in this church is used by God, And all of a sudden, revival happens. Am I going to get jealous? No, praise God. He used someone in this church. We're supposed to rejoice with each other, build each other up, pray for each other, and have joy that God is glorified no matter what happens. Now, if Larry here goes and talks to someone, and called to preach, goes down there, sets up the tent, and he gets 10,000 people saved, and I get 3, praise God. I need to use you again. So that's what we need to do, and that's exactly what Elizabeth did. She was used by God in a great and mighty way, and then God used her in even a greater and mighty way to prepare Mary for a calling she was not prepared for yet. And she did it with great humility. So, Mary had a great call that most would produce great pride. Especially a teenage girl. Imagine that. A teenage girl. Look at me. Look how wonderful I am. You know, what are most teenagers? You know, invisible and bulletproof. They think they can accomplish anything. Never get caught because they're so smart. No, we haven't changed a whole lot. The same thing could have happened then. But Mary showed absolute true humility. Has shown that when God, the same kind of humility that is required of all people. Now, think of another person that could have had great pride. Think of the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible. Apostle Paul established a Gentile church. Greatest pastor of all time. Now, think about Apostle Paul. Could that have developed pride in his life? God gave him an ability to avoid that. He gave him a thorn in the flesh that he tried to have taken away when he prayed 3 times. And God said no, because he wanted to make sure that pride didn't happen. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And it was a tool God used. Mary didn't need that tool. She was very humble. So remember in verses 46 to 47, she said, her soul magnifies, not self, her soul magnifies the Lord. Her spirit had rejoiced in God, her Savior. She recognized she needed God to save her. She wasn't special. She was chosen, but she wasn't special. She's a sinner like everybody else, a sinner chosen by God for a great and mighty work, but she was a sinner, and she needed the Savior that she was going to birth. You know? Jesus Christ had to save Mary just like Jesus Christ had to save everybody else. There was nothing special about Mary at all, except she was faithful, except she was righteous, and except she followed through with the call God gave her. And she glorified God for that. Generations would praise her only because she was God's handmaid, not because she was so special. So Hebrews 13:15, we see the truth of Mary's life. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It's exactly what Mary did, proving that Mary was the right person to be chosen for this great call. Praising and recognizing God's grace, she claimed no honor for herself whatsoever. She recognized what Jesus told the apostles in Luke 17:10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. She gave all glory to God as she was nothing but an unprofitable servant following through on a great call. We must learn to do the same thing. You know, when he comes back with his 10,000 people saved, he's going to say, God, I was an unprofitable servant. You are the one who gets all the glory. I just did what you called me to do. And anything I produce up here as pastor, I'm the called pastor. He called me to do it. He required me to do it. Woe to me if I don't do it, because he's the one who called me. There's no glory in it at all. I have no wisdom of my own. I have no ability, only as God gives me. And it's exactly the same thing that Mary recognized. She could do nothing apart from God. That's where you have to be humble, to recognize God is the one that gives us the strength to do all things, not on our own. So with all this, both Elizabeth and Mary became discerning. James 4:10 says this, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Mary humbled herself, and God lifted her up. And he did it through Elizabeth. The faithful, called mother of John the Baptist, prepared her way, building her up, as she removed her fear and allowed her to write the Magnificat after this. Now, when the angel came, she couldn't have written that great song. She couldn't have written all this because she'd have been too scared. But living with Elizabeth, listening to the stories that Elizabeth gave her, understanding the history of Israel, understanding the miracles, and realizing she's just one more miracle that God has produced, she could then write in confidence that great praise that God was using her in such a great and mighty way. a very similar song, the Hannah Song of Praise, after God sent Eli to the temple to prepare the birth of Samuel. Now, for 3 months, three entire months, Mary stayed with Elizabeth. For 3 months, they rejoiced over God's call to these faithful women. All this time, at the same time, they were seeing Zechariah over there, not saying a word. Why didn't he say a word? Because he showed a lack of faith. And God struck him mute because of that lack of faith. He would be mute until John the Baptist was born. There was a picture of how God needs to use humble people. Now, don't make no mistake. Zechariah didn't complain. He recognized his fault, and he stayed mute the entire time. But again, it was a picture to Mary of where the true strength was from. She came close to seeing John the Baptist delivered as Jesus was growing in her own womb, praising him for using her as an unworthy yet greatly blessed woman. So a faithful woman, Mary would learn much from this elderly wife of a very righteous and faithful priest. Seeing God as a merciful God every day and never changing. And she knew the scriptures, but Elizabeth, as an older woman, would know them better. And she would remind her of Lamentations 3:22-23. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. True now, true then, and true of the entire life of her call, and for generation and generation thereafter, as she said later in her Magnificat. Mary recognized all this, recognized the great call that was given to her, and praised God for it. She trusted God and would be led by him every single day of her calling. Not understanding it, but being led by it. And that's the important thing. When I started teaching the Bible in 1989, I didn't think I was going to be a pastor. When I was called to preach, I didn't think I was going to pastor here. I had to be led step by step by step. And that's true for every single one of your callings. God doesn't give you the end result of your calling. God puts you through tests to see if you're going to be faithful, to see if you're going to continue, to see if when you trip, will you get up and follow me because you recognize you're not able, but I am. That's what God's looking for, and that's what we need to remember. We need to show the humility of Mary to get the discernment of Mary that the Spirit may lead us like it did Mary. So, with Elizabeth's counsel, she saw God was critical in all things, as her song showed. Now, in the song, we see three things. I'm not going to go into the song, in the Magnificat very much. I'm just going to look at three quick things. The first thing she did was praise God for what he had done for her. The Almighty, Eternal, Holy God, seeing this unworthy sinner out here and using her to bring forth the Messiah so that all women would call her a blessed from generation to generation. Calling her blessed as we do today. Second, praising God for his protection of his own people, putting down mighty enemies as she saw in the past, and exalting his people of low degree. And finally, praising God for who he was and how he would bless people forever through the fruit of her womb. Now, what's the common thing in all three of the parts of the Magnificat? Praise. Everything she did in that song was to praise God. It was focusing on God. Yes, she was the subject of a lot of it because God was working through her. But the purpose, the true subject, was God himself. She was praising God for every part of it. God was using, I'm Mary, God's using me. Praise God for it. But the focus was God. And that's what we need to do. If we want to do a call, we need to keep the focus on God at all times. He's a jealous God. He will not share honor with anybody. That includes you. If you start taking honor for what God's doing through you, your calling is done. Mary never did that. She praised and focused on God in every facet of her own life and life of God's chosen people. So, Mary came to Elizabeth afraid of the call she had been given. Is that a bad thing? Tell you what, I was scared to death when I started this church. When I was the founding pastor of this church, that wasn't the plan. I was scared to death. Is that a bad thing? Well, the reason I was scared is because I didn't want to fail God. And Psalm 111:10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." She came fearful of her call and her ability to accomplish it. She came to be encouraged and ended up encouraging Elizabeth. They built each other up. Her fear went from a fear of a lack of ability to a reverent fear of falling short of God's love, and now confident in her ability to accomplish it because God was going to be the one doing it. Building each other up, Mary leaves after 3 months by her own faith. Jesus was born, revealed himself, went to the cross, died, was buried, and rose the third day. By Mary's faith, I am standing here today because by his death, I'm saved. But to go to his death, he had to be born. And it took a faithful woman to take that call, accomplish that call in faith, giving God the glory to make that happen. So, God's not a respecter of people. That's what we get from this story. He chose the poorest girl in Judah to bring forth the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Poor in the world, but rich in spirit. How many people here are going to be invited to Trump Tower because you're so wealthy? Don't have to worry about that, do we? God's not looking for that. God's not looking for rich people in the world. He's looking for rich people in spirit. Mary was rich in spirit. She wasn't the worthy daughter of a queen, a priest, but a poor woman, totally unworthy in man's eyes. She was like David. David was chosen as the youngest and smallest brother. If you look at the story of when David was chosen, even Samuel didn't think David was the right one. He kept saying, oh, that's surely the right one. Surely that's the right one. Surely that was the right one. Samuel was a man of great wisdom, and he didn't pick David. He didn't think David would be the right one. God did. Why? God doesn't look at the outside appearance. He looks at the inside heart. Do you have the faith? Do you have the humility? Will you allow me to use my strength through you? So, this is exactly what God told Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7. For man looketh at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. By Mary's action and praise, her heart showed a love of God and a faith worthy to be chosen. We see with Mary and Elizabeth, an unusual and great call requires you to walk with another that can lift you up. Satan will do everything he can to bring you down. I can testify to that. I'm sure everyone here can testify the same thing. If you try to do anything for God, another walking with you can help you to look up. Satan wants you to look down. You're going to trip. You're going to trip. You're going to trip. No, look at God. He's directing your path. You're not going to trip. You can pray for each other. You can help each other. You can encourage each other. Because when two people are walking, it's like this. No, we're always like this. How many are on the mountaintop all times? Me neither. But guess what? When I'm on the mountaintop, I can help my brother who's down here. Next week, I'm going to be down here. He's going to be up here. He can lift me up. And I've said many times, I want to be the absolute least spiritual person in this church. Reason being, I know where I'm at. And if you've all grown and got past me, guess what? You can lift me up. That's what we need. We all want to, our goal is to get closer to God. That's what we need to do, lifting each other up. Pastors in New Hampshire are trying to come together to build each other up, share difficulties, and pray for each other. Each pastor, each church has a different call. And the job is sometimes a lonely call, but nothing like Mary's call, which is why God provided Elizabeth for immediate comfort, because she needed it. Both had similar calls and could encourage each other at hard times, providing prayer, guidance, fellowship, and support for each other. The result of all that, Mary sang her song of praise and delivered Jesus for the benefit of us all. Let's all help each other as God gives each one of us unworthy sinners some call to support him in his church, that we may glorify him and he may reward us. And with that, we need to realize what we need to do. So open up your hymnals and let's sing hymn number 295, Softly and Tenderly.
Please do.
Jesus Christ entered Mary in a physical way. Why? By faith, Mary accepted her call. By faith, Mary recognized that she needed a Savior. By faith, she accepted her call, and she accepted the fact that Jesus needed to enter into her life. He enters us the same way. He enters us spiritually by faith. By faith, we can't do it on our own. By faith, he has to enter us. He calls us to that great call. He calls us to salvation, and he calls us to trust in him. Mary recognized she needed a Savior. Every one of us needs a Savior also. If you've never accepted that, you know, it's a new birth is what it's called. Ye must be born again is what Jesus said in John 3:3. If you've never had that happen, you know, as soon as you sin, your spirit's dead. If you need to come and be saved, he does it by faith. Trust in his gift. He came to die. He came to take your sins. He came to reveal God to man. And when he did so, he showed that we can't do it on our own. Everyone who tries has failed. If you've never accepted that free gift, I ask you today to come forward as we're singing. I'll show you from the Bible exactly how to get saved. It's very simple. You don't deserve it. You can't do it on your own. There is nothing in you to offer. But he will enter you if you, by faith, accept that call. If there's nobody there, if everyone here is saved, praise God for it. But have you looked at what he asks you to do? We're not called to be babies. We're called to be spiritual adults. We're called to be used by God to bring forth his truth to others. And this Christmas season, we need to dedicate ourselves to that. We need to look for a call that God's given us. We need to understand a call God's given us, and we need to seek help to accomplish that call. As a pastor, I need a lot of help. I need a lot of counsel. But every one of your calls is the same thing. If you're called to do something miraculous, that means you can't do it on your own. You need help from others. You need help from God. And let's unify as a body, lifting each other up, helping each other, making sure that the calls he gives us are efficient. Mary accepted her call, and we're saved because of it. He may be doing the same thing to you to have other people saved that would not be reached by me. So as Kathy gets ready to play one more hymn, let's go to silent prayer. Ask God to show himself real in our lives. First of all, am I saved? Ask him that. Most important question you can ask. After that, ask him, am I doing everything you want me to do? What is the calling you have for me, Lord? Let me accomplish it. Give me the faith. Give me the help to do it. And then go forth and do it. And after she's done, I'll close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift that gives us eternal life. It is the gift of God that gives us eternal life. And it came because Mary accepted, by faith, Jesus Christ entering into her. And by faith, he enters into us the same way in a spiritual sense. And Lord, if there's anybody here who's never accepted that free gift, who've never accepted that call, who has seen the Lord Jesus but said, no, I don't need that, let today be the day that changed your mind. Let today be the day that they allow Jesus to enter into their lives, that they, as Mary said, become a handmaiden to the Lord or a bondslave to the Lord. Let today be the day that they become that living sacrifice, serving him forevermore. And Lord, as they serve you, you'll give them joy, you'll give them strength, and you will show them your power. And Lord, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that we can do things through your strength that give us joy as we see you work through our lives. And if there's anybody here, Lord, who's not saved, let that happen today. For everyone else, let us look for what you would have us to do. Lord, we're still here because you have work for us. Show us the call that you've given in each one of our lives. Let us accept that call, and let us seek the help of others, first through prayer, second of all through guidance, and finally through others with similar calls, that we can lift each other up, pray for each other, support each other, unify behind your word, and see you do great and mighty things in this area. We ask all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.